Maren has Vespers.
Welcome, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you and with our Savior. We're going to begin today with a hymn, and the hymn is number 661. I love to tell the story. Share it, especially when it's the best gift in the world. And that was really why he went, and Mother went for the same reason. Well, they got there, but it wasn't where they thought they were going. And on the way to China, they found themselves faced with a war. The Chinese and the Japanese were fighting in 1940, and it was so ferocious that they couldn't even get into the country as neutral students. So they were sent down to the Philippines to study Chinese and wait it out. Wait it out. Let us read the psalm that carried them through their weight. Psalm 27. Now we are going to do this antiphonally, and it's so nice of you to divide up this way on either side of the candles. So everyone on the right side of the candles, you will have the first few lines, the first thought, and then the people on the left side will be the second or the supporting thought. And you can tell what it is because it's indented. Your part's indented, folks. Okay, I see nods. People on Psalm 27. And I will read up with this side because Pastor Nancy's on that side. So you can be the leader for the response, the antiphonal response. Since I know she read it today, she read this psalm with me today. This psalm was a psalm that kept my parents alive, really. So as we do this, let's allow the thought and meaning of the verses to come through, and let's read in the same mind, whether we are listening or reading.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers close in against me to devour my flesh, they, my foes and my enemies, will stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, my trust will not be shaken. One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to see God in the temple. For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. Hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and raise me high up on the rock. Even now my head is lifted up above my enemies who surround me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices in the sanctuary, sacrifices of rejoicing. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. My heart speaks your message. Seek my face, your face, O Lord, I will seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger.
Cast me not away, you have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in.
Teach me your way, O Lord.
Lead me on a level path because of my oppressors.
Subject me not to the will of my foes.
This I believe, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord and be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your continuing presence through the worst and the best of times with all of us, young and old. Those of us who are just reaching our first year, and those of us who are perhaps coming to face our last. Bless all of us in between and give us the patience that you are coming to give us the strength and courage to face whatever happens. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I told some of this story the other night in the lift, and if you want to find out that part of the story, ask somebody who was in the lift. That's the oral tradition, you know. And I know the kids, if they're here, can tell you the story of my first birthday. Can't you? Well, I won't ask you to say yes. Anyway, for those of you who weren't there, just because it is Aubrey's birthday, I decided to share with you something that Judy Hyland wrote in her book, In the Shadow of the Rising Sun. Now, Judy was my godmother. She was the one who was walking around the outskirts of Baguio in the mountains of Luzon. It's called the Mountain Island in the Philippines, on December 7th, 1941. She was memorizing Chinese proverbs, probably this one, "Don't worry, go slow, just worry, stand still." And no doubt prophetic, because the next thing she heard was Uncle Herb, my godfather, shouting at her, "I just heard it on the short wave. Pearl Harbor's been bombed." Well, shortly after that, the entire city of Baguio was being bombed as well. And it wasn't long before that that everyone in the city had to seek refuge in one of the three buildings in the whole town that had a basement. Because this is the tropics, and it rains, it doesn't snow, it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. The people do not build their houses with basements. They build them on stilts, and you climb in on a ladder. Excellent, excellent architecture for rainy weather, but very poor for bombs. So everybody went to one of the three buildings, and the one that Judy went to was the same one that my parents took me to. It was the school. And unlike my mom and dad, who decided, no, this isn't the place for our little newborn, Marin, who was born 7 days before Pearl Harbor, and carried me directly back home, where I spent the next 3 weeks under a kitchen table in my mommy's arms, safe and sound as the bombs fell around us. Judy and her friends, Judy was single at the time, engaged but not married. She's, and her fiance was fighting in World War II. They went to the basement and rolled out their bedrolls and tried to sleep. Well, when they woke up, they said, "No, this is enough. We're going home." It was Christmas morning, she said, and we thought of our unopened Christmas gifts, the shelves of food, and most of all, the peace and quiet of home. Knowing there would be opposition, we carefully and quietly gathered up our belongings and ran through the woods to Baguio. In the woods, we picked up a fir tree that someone had cut, evidently for a Christmas tree. You know, it was panicking. Everybody was frightened. Whoever it was had perhaps been startled by an air raid. We reached our apartment house dragging the tree just as our cook and his wife arrived carrying a live chicken. We all began preparing for a Christmas party. We set up the tree and trimmed it. By the time dinner was ready, other missionaries had returned from Brent School. It was a sentimental dinner, for we all knew that feasting would soon come to an end. And then, in the afternoon, Pastor Subito of the Baguio Church called and asked if I would dare go with him to city camp, where we had been having Bible classes on Sunday afternoons. The Japanese army was expected to arrive at any time, and city camp was several miles from the city. But I was eager to see the people again and to bring them the goodies we had prepared for the Christmas party, so I consented. We started off on foot with our Christmas parcels, but when we came to city camp, we found the place completely deserted. There was not even a chicken in the place. We were about to return when A boy came running across the hills. We're all in the caves. Please, come. So we walked over some hills to a mountainside where there were several large caves. There the people of City Camp had made themselves as comfortable as possible while awaiting the arrival of the enemy. We visited a while, enjoyed the cookies, sang some Christmas carols, sang the Christmas gospel, prayed, and then hurried back to Baguio, arriving just as darkness was setting in. That memory, she says, of that Christmas service in that cave with those Filipinos kept her alive through the darkest days of our internment. And they lasted for 3.5 years. What saved our lives? What saved our lives? So many things saved our lives. But I think one of the most important things that saved our lives was the stories, the storytelling. And of course, it was the missionaries that did it. They did it in the middle of a mess in prison camp. Nobody knew what was going to happen. There were 500 people in a camp half this size. It was actually an army officer's club outside of Baguio. And the American soldiers had bombed the plumbing so that the Japanese officers would not enjoy this beautiful place. Now the Japanese, with their sense of fair play, had all the American POWs shoved into this officer's club. And we had no facilities. There were no bathrooms. There was no running water. We were in danger of cholera. And we didn't know how long we were going to be there. Well, at first, it was chaos. It was wildness. Nobody was working together. And then the missionaries said, we can't have the kids running wild like this. They brought them around and started telling them stories. And as they told them stories, they found everyone else who had nothing to do except be scared were gathering too and listening. These were the Bible stories. These were their own stories. These were every story they could think of, the old folk stories. And finally, some of the other adults, I'm sure, were telling stories too, just as we've been telling stories here. In Vespers and out, in the dining hall, on the trails, wherever we are. And what is happening the same as it was in prison camp. We are getting to know each other, and we're finding out how talented and how resourceful and how gifted we all are. And praise God, we can make it. Yes, we can. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad things get, my friends. We can do it because we have the stories. And the most important story of all is the story that Jesus brings us, his love for us, and all of those stories that we've been studying every day now with Nancy. The Bible stories. Powerful, 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 and necessary. So thank you for listening. Let's sing another hymn. My dad and mom's favorite hymn. We used to sing this when we were driving in the car, right, Paul?
Yes.
We all know it by heart in our family. Unfortunately, it's a little fine print. So, if you're having trouble reading it, raise your hand, and we'll repeat the verses or something. Time is up. favor of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.